Welcome to the Most High Show, a show about recovery, spirituality, and the 12 steps. Produced, hosted, and posted by people in recovery who've been given strength and hope and want to share it with you. If you or someone you love is suffering, we want you to know you are not alone. This is the Most High Show. Hey, what's up? This is Christian with the Most High Show. Today we're going to be talking about step 12 of the 12 steps. And with me, one of my good friends and the owner of 365 Sober Living, my man Paul. What's up, man?
How you doing, Christian?
Doing good. I try to protect the innocent, so I didn't give your last name, you know?
That's good.
Just in case. First, before we get into it, I've known you for a long time. Ever since I got into the world of recovery, I feel like you've been a part of that personally. And so it's been amazing to have you as a friend and a brother through that whole process. And knowing your story, I know the significance of what you're doing with 365 Sober Living and why you're appropriate to do this 12-step discussion, because I know the commitment you have to men in recovery and just anybody who's in recovery. So can you just tell me a little bit before we dive into the step, how did you get to the point where now you're running this and owning this 365 Sober Living?
Well, the story goes this way is, I had worked through the steps and, had been doing that for, you know, just kind of the maintenance stuff, for, you know, many years really. And I think it was towards the end of 2014, during my prayer meditation, you know, some things just started coming to me. And I, the way I do things is I do it on my computer. Okay. Yeah. And so, you know, I opened up like a notepad thing and I just started taking notes on the thoughts that were coming to me. Yeah. And this was over like a period of, a year. You know, I'd gotten the notes down. And, you know, so after a while in my prayer meditation, I would just say, well, you know, I can't really do this myself. You know, I'm a reasonably good business person. Mm-hmm. I know a lot about recovery. You know, I've been in recovery, you know, for a long time myself. You know, but I'm going to need somebody, you know, to help. Probably not just one, you know, several, you know.
So the stuff you were writing down was kind of the idea for this.
Yeah.
Sober Living. And
Yeah. It was, you know, just conceptual ideas mostly. Mm-hmm. And then, at the, beginning of 2016, I met Danny.
Yeah.
And him and I started talking about it. And what was weird is when he would talk, he was talking my notes, you know?
Wow.
And so he had shown me some pictures from a place that he was at down in Florida. And, you know, I was looking at the pictures and I'm like, okay, now he's showing me visually my notes.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, over a period of a couple of months, you know, I'm a computer guy by nature. So, you know, I started getting ideas on brand names and you know, what an initial website and things like that would look like.
Yeah.
Put together like a initial business plan, budget and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, Danny and I just talked over, you know, a 2 or 3 month period. And by, April that year, we had it opened up.
Wow. That quick.
Yeah.
When, a backstory to how you met Danny is you were helping somebody. I mean, you and I both were helping somebody to get into rehab and they went to a sober living. And that's kind of how I think you met Danny, right? It was through service that you met Danny.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Which is even cooler, right, to meet the story. So he's telling you, you guys are having these discussions, and this is all the stuff you've been writing down in your private time. So this is, feels pretty divinely inspired.
Definitely. Yeah? No doubt.
Yeah. And so now you guys are up and operating, been up and operating for a few years here, and you're in Alpharetta, Roswell area.
Yep.
Yeah. And what I really like is how, like, when Danny kind of explains it, you know, being in this network that's not just, you know, come stay here, that's it. But there's a network, there's a whole thing in place for the men that come in to have the support they need to recover.
Right. It's, you know, it's kind of like, okay, you come in and here's where you're at. Where do you want to be when you're done with, participating in our program, you know?
Right.
And, you know, so, you know, what Danny does is he, essentially builds a plan for him.
Yeah.
And guides him, you know, through the whole process to getting where they want to be. And that could be getting back to your family. It could be, I want to get in college. I want, you know, right. There's all kinds of different scenarios. And that's why we like to call it, you know, highly individualized.
So you've been working these steps for quite some time. And so tell me about, like, when someone talks about, all right, it's time for the 12th step. How does that manifest in your life daily and kind of like, what does somebody tell you when they're like, you know, or what do you say when someone's like, what's the 12 step all about?
Okay. So the 12 step for me, and when I talk about it, I talk about it in terms of the way I was taught.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
By some really good, knowledgeable people, you know, in the program. And so I break it down into three parts. The first part is having had a spiritual awakening as a result of the steps.
Right.
Okay. That in itself is a big thing. Okay.
Yeah. So you get to 12, but you got to have the spiritual awakening that comes with getting to 12.
Right. Yeah. You know, but it's good to understand that awakening that you get, you know, goes back to, you know, what you came to believe in,
yeah,
first, and then the decision that you made.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
In the big book of AA, mm-hmm, there's a part of the book called the Spiritual Experience, Appendix 2.
Yeah.
Okay. And it has an awesome definition. You know, it's like 2 pages of how to distinguish between a spiritual experience and a spiritual awakening.
Ah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bill Wilson, the founder, had some issues, with the first, 100, 200, whatever, however many people were involved, explaining, the whole God concept to people.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he wrote this appendix to clarify some things.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. And one was to distinguish between a spiritual experience and a spiritual awakening.
Yeah.
Okay. A spiritual experience is, kind of the white light.
Yeah.
Type thing that, happens to some people, right. not all people.
Yeah.
Okay. A spiritual awakening, in this context, is what they call the educational variety.
Okay.
The educational variety comes from working the first 11 steps. Okay.
Yeah. Right.
All right.
Yeah. So it's rooted in something real.
Yeah. You may or may not get that white light, thing.
Right.
I was fortunate enough to get a spiritual experience and a spiritual awakening.
Yeah.
What was that?
Something.
Okay.
Bluetooth speaker, I think.
Okay. So
it's a spiritual experience.
Yeah. Was that? Yeah. God calling. So what's important to understand, at least, you know, and I come, again, I come from my, you know, from how I learned this, is, you know, by the fact that I worked through, you know, the first 11 steps, yeah. I'm almost guaranteed that spiritual awakening, you know, because that's what it says, as a result of the steps, right? And that's powerful.
Yeah.
You know, very, very powerful. The second part is in regard to carrying the message.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, what happened to you in your spiritual awakening during that process?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
A lot of that impacts how you carry a message.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
In some cases, you know, when I'm working with people that are just coming into the AA program, mm-hmm. You know, the message I'm carrying is the message of hope.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. you can look at someone like me or other people that you see around you,
right,
that have made it all the way through the program and, you know, no longer have the desire to, you know, use alcohol or drugs.
Right.
You know, that in itself is somewhat of a miracle,
yeah.
You know, and you can be an sure. example and represent what, you know, what that experience means, you know?
Yeah.
Now, you know, like you were talking, you know, you and I met, at Celebrate Recovery, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I want you to read this.
Okay.
All right. There's, you know, to me, this is like a second level. And just read 15 and 16 there.
All right.
This is kind of the, you know, the next level to carrying a message.
Yeah.
All right.
So this is Galatians 1:15 says, "But God in his grace chose me even before I was born and called me to serve him. And when he decided to reveal his son to me so that I might preach the good news about him to the Gentiles, I did not go to anyone for advice." Yeah.
You yeah. see, what happened to me is I transitioned from step 11 into step 12.
Yeah.
Is that happened to me.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah. And it was not too much longer after that that I met you.
Right.
In Celebrate Recovery.
Yeah.
All right. God chose me.
Yeah.
To carry his message.
Yeah.
And some of that really was, and what I needed to do when I met, you know, you and the other folks at Celebrate Recovery was I needed to learn about Jesus.
Right.
You know, and yeah. what impact he had on me, you know, during that whole experience between transitioning from step 11 to step 12.
Right.
Okay.
Because you know, that was the your faith, that was your kind of childhood faith was Jesus, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was important for you as your journey into recovery to reconcile that relationship because that's how you understood God.
Exactly.
Through Jesus, right.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, you know, what changed, okay, was when all this went down is I understood that he lived inside me.
Right.
That was my awakening.
Right. Wow. Okay. It wasn't a far off God looking down at you, pointing his finger at you, judging you.
Right.
Telling you you're wrong or like, was it knows when you're naughty or nice?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Right. You know, it was inside you, right? So you began to really get a grasp on the Christian message.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You got it.
Wow.
And it was very, very powerful, you know, and the, you know, yeah. years that I spent with, you know, you and the other guys, you know, taught me what I needed to know so I could carry the Christian message effectively.
Yeah.
Without necessarily revealing myself, you know, because when you're dealing with broken people,
right,
you know, you don't necessarily want to, you know, kind of ram that down people's throat, right. You know?
Right. Because that's, yeah, right. You're when we're talking to somebody in that state, in a broken state, you know, we're not there to have a theological discussion. We're there to help them get just enough hope to get through the day and not drink or use. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why I said, you know, the, you know, steps two and three are real important, you know, because when I work those steps with my AA sponsor, would you like to know what my higher power was?
Is that what, oh yeah, what was it?
My higher power, when I said, you know,
first started this process.
But, yeah. You know, when I came to believe and I made my decision, it was as simple as if I walk through the rest of these steps, I'm going to change.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. And then by step 11, as you read in Galatians, you know, 1:15-16, I was able to realize that God chose me before I was born to do, you know, to help carry his message to others.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's how it's, you know, I knew none of this as things were going along.
Yeah.
You know, this all gets revealed to you.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, in a very, you know, powerful way. And when you sit down and you work with people, and I've worked with many, many, many guys, is you feel that power.
Yeah.
And the power is Christ, you know? Yeah. It's awesome, you know? But I don't have to present it that way.
Right.
You know?
No. And when you say God chose you, you're not like going David Koresh on us.
No.
And like starting to call at 365. It's to say that for whatever reason, here you are having had this spiritual experience, this spiritual awakening, and now with everything you need to carry it on, there's so many that don't make it that far.
Exactly.
There's so many that just, they don't get it. And for whatever reason, and they try, and for whatever reason it is. So it is, there is a sense of like, for those of us who kind of are, and just for today, you know, we're recovered today. Yep. It's by the grace of God. And that's, I think when you say God chose you, that's what you mean. Like God chose you to move this forward, and you accepted that call.
Exactly.
You answered it.
Right. You know, it starts out saying, you know, by God's grace.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, it's not all people make it,
yeah,
you know, all the way through that full realization, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, for me, it was never about the drugs and the alcohol.
Yeah.
You know, it was about my crushed spirit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, that's exactly what, like when I tell my story, what I learned when I was in rehab was that the drug addiction was a result of me trying to live life like I wasn't a child of God. And as soon as I started, that was like the first thing. Like, as soon as I started believing that, and I started trying to deal with life and manipulate life and not take life on life's terms and try to go around problems, then the drugs and alcohol and everything else that comes with that just was a obvious next step. Right. And then once you use drugs long enough, well, a drug like cocaine, well, eventually cocaine is going to do what it's going to do. And then then that physical addiction thing kicks back in. And,
yep.
But it started, that journey started because for some reason, you know, and I'm still discovering myself, you know, but for some reason there was a point in time when I just was like, I almost like, I got this. I figured it out somehow. Like I figured out God. Right. So here I got it figured out. So I'm going to go and do my thing now. And man, that was just such a mistake because that was the thing that led me right back to drugs and alcohol.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely. So there's three parts. Did you go to the third?
The third part is practice these principles in all my affairs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Above each step is a godly principle behind it.
Right.
Okay. So step one is honesty. Step two is hope, faith, courage, and so on. The principle behind step 12 is service.
Yeah.
Okay. Huge. So you now have the awareness of God.
Yeah.
All right. And you have a service mindset, you know, as you're going about your daily life.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And what, you know, what that allows you to do is get out of the self-centeredness, right, that, you know, and I'll just speak for myself, the self-centeredness that, you know, I was only concerned about me and my needs.
Right.
You know, I put myself out there now and I am concerned about
others.
Others.
You know,
fundamental, you know, the fundamental two commandments, what are they that God gives us?
I love God and love people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And having that, you know, service mindset as you, mm-hmm, walk into each day,
yeah,
allows you to fulfill those two commandments because you're getting out of your self-centeredness.
And all the problems I have today are because I get back to that self-deluded state of mind.
Right.
And I slip in there. It's so slick the way it happens. And then I'm suffering. You know, I'm not using. I don't want to use. It's not calling me back to use. But I'm suffering. My life is not fulfilled. I'm not happy. And the reason is because I got back to being self-centered.
Right.
And then everybody else becomes a problem. And it's this whole downward spiral that I can get into. And I think a lot of us, that's kind of the maintenance part, right? It's like, how do we continue? How do you continue to keep that mindset of service? And there's a great saying, like, take yourself out of it. Like, when you're dealing with a situation, to go, okay, remove yourself. Now look at it objectively. And so how do you do that on an ongoing basis? Like, just practically.
Practically, it's, you know, it's kind of built into, you know, 10, 11, and 12 is, you know, I keep an eye on my reaction to the world.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so, you know, all the, you know, character flaws and things that came up, you know, through my, you know, step four through nine,
right,
you know, work,
yeah,
you know, revealed to me what, you know, what my fundamental problems were, you,
right,
know, and I always go back to those, you,
yeah,
know,
right.
You know, 10 helps me recognize, you know, where I'm at fault.
Right.
You know, ongoing, you know, and then, you know, step 11 helps me, you know, do the love God part of those two commandments,
yeah,
you know, which is to maintain a, you know, a conscious contact,
yeah,
a connection,
right,
on a daily basis, you know, with my higher power, you know, who is Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Okay. And then putting yourself out there. Okay. Love people is, yeah, is, you know, help others.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's not, you know, just sponsoring people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a good thing to do. And I do it. Mm-hmm. I've sponsored many, many guys. And, but there's other types of service that you can do.
Yeah.
You know, and put yourself out there, you know, like on Thanksgiving.
Right.
You know, go, you know, where they had Thanksgiving dinners for people.
Right.
You know, that's just an example, but there's all kinds of opportunities,
oh, yeah,
to serve God's kingdom, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I usually tell, like, when somebody's dealing, even if they're not, it's not a drug or alcohol thing, you know, but they're having that, you know, life, sometimes people will have a rudderless life because they feel they have no purpose. There's, you know, and so what I'll do is I'll encourage them to go serve. I mean, go down to the Atlanta Mission.
Yeah.
You just show up there at like 4 o'clock and tell them, hey, I want to serve the guys. And they'll put you to work and it immediately takes you out of yourself. That just the concept of service itself.
Well, you were talking about, you know, you thinking about your problems,
right,
and things, right? And getting,
yeah,
too focused on that during the course of a day.
Yeah.
You know, when you put yourself out there like that, the last thing you're thinking about is your problems.
Right. Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And it works. You know, that's the thing is that it works.
Yeah.
You know, I'm very, you know, it also puts you in a, you know, an attitude of gratitude, you know?
For sure.
You know, you're always thankful because, you know, when I'm out there helping somebody, you know, my circumstances seem pretty minimal, you know, compared to that, you,
right,
know?
Right. Yeah. It's a very humbling, especially specifically the Atlanta Mission, which I love. I support that organization. And yeah, you come home from serving meals there. And we used to go there and speak a lot. And you come home and you're like, holy shit, I got 3 toilets. Like,
yeah,
they're all my toilets, you know, like I could pick one to use. And then here are these, you know, God's children who are, you know, struggling for what a myriad of problems and reasons of why they're there. But it's just, it does. It puts your kind of, it gets you in the right perspective. The gratitude. Yeah.
I spent a year serving in as a worship member. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
If you would have asked me whether I was the type of person that would be sitting there in one of those, you know, choir outfits, you know, I would have told you you were crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I, you know, I did that for a year, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I do, you know, it's, you know, I'll get into a commitment and I'll do it for, you know, an extended period of time, you know? Yeah. It's all break recovery, you know, we led those meetings.
Yeah.
Right. You know, for, I forget how, well over a year,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, and those are the kind, you know, addicts and alcoholics, they'll discourage you, you know, because like, you know, they'll keep relapsing or, you know,
yeah.
You know, whatever. But, you know, the thing is, if I continue to put myself out there,
yeah,
the one shining star comes up and succeeds.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's what makes it all worth it, you know? So I got to keep trying, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. I'm thinking about Mitchell, who's usually on the show, and a part of Mitchell's story that doesn't really get a lot of spotlight is he spends a lot of time with people with disabilities. He has a better word for it, and they have various disabilities, either mental or physical or whatever. And so when you kind of see him at work with those, oh hey. There's another spiritual experience right there. Hold on. Hey, open the door. We're recording. Get her out there. Okay. All right, we're recording. There's another edit at 28 minutes. I won't edit that out. That's just good stuff. So yeah, so here he is, sir, you know, with these people, and to me, when I see him doing that, I just think, man, that's just. Like, what a blessing to be with that kind of, to be there for a person like that. He's so patient and all the things that you would want from someone who's a caregiver, you know, that's how he is with those people. And that's great. And I think I find like a lot of value in what we're doing here, like in the service that we're doing here. I feel like this is a service, right?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, we are a nonprofit. People do support us, but it's not like we're not setting out to do this so that we can take over the world or get rich or anything. So, you know, this is a service and like you said, it's, I can get done with this podcast. I'll edit it all together. We'll post it and I will have done something, you know, it's not like you said, dependent on somebody else's success or failure. Right.
You know, it's just, you know, the reality is I have to do it to, you know, to maintain my step two sanity.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, again, you know, I was given God's grace.
Yeah.
You know, if it was under my choice, I would have never made it in recovery.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, so when I, you know, when I look at it and what I've, the gift I've been given.
Yeah.
Right. You know, it would be very shallow of me to not give that back.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think for me personally, a big thing for me, as far as this step 12 goes, is the way I treat my wife and my kids. Like, I feel like that's a, you know, with my higher power, Jesus is usually using that, those relationships to get me in a place of service, you know, because, it's one thing for me to leave and go serve somewhere, or go to the mission, or go do this, or go do that. But when it's down to the moment where it's like, okay, I need to choose them over what I want to do right now, that's when my most selfish thing kicks in. It's like, no, I don't. I want to have my time here, and so that's how it's really manifests itself in my life.
That's the practicing the principles in all your affairs, you know,
yeah.
You know, what are you like, you know, when you're outside of, you know, the recovery circle.
Right.
You know,
right.
And out there in the real world, you know?
Yeah.
You know, the real world still needs us.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. We have jobs, we have clients, And in those situations too, it's important that, you know, we practicing these principles there, which really are Jesus principles, you know, frankly,
yep.
You know, to just care for other people, love other people, be understanding, be caring. Sometimes you just be nice. You know, you don't fire back that email that's like a venomous email when you want to so badly, but you don't do it because you know that that's not going to help anybody.
You know, one of the centered principles is humility.
Yeah.
You know, each step, humility is kind of the bridge between them.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, my alcoholic disease was progressive.
Yeah.
Okay. As you work through all the steps and you get to 12, the humility is progressive.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow.
And, you know, that's powerful, you know, yeah. because I'm, you know, progressively establishing a better and more, you know, powerful connection with my higher power, you know, yeah. You know, as I'm going along, you know. And then, you know, you can't, you know, what they say in the big book is you can't sit on your laurels, mm-hmm. you know. Yeah. You know, your laurel, you know, once I start relying on myself again, guess what happens?
Right.
You know, yeah. You know, you had kind of talked about that before, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, you might not go full on to a relapse, but you're not going to be living the promises for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, the treatment ongoing for, you know, for alcohol, you know, for people in recovery, you know, is to be in service of others. That's, you know, that's at least part of the treatment. The other part of the treatment is to, you know, demonstrate humility to your higher power, you know,
yeah.
You know, which can be prayer, which can be meditation, which can be, going to church, which can be, you know, but, you know, you've got to understand that you're not running the show anymore, you know, right. You know, yeah. I had to give that job up.
But that's what I like in the Celebrate Recovery, steps. It says, realize that I'm not God.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, realize.
Like, let's get this out of the way first. I'm not God. That's like, I love that way that's worded.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, you know, like I Dream a Genie. We used to think that we could blink our eyes and make people do things, you know?
Right, right.
You know, and it never happened. We got frustrated and we drank, you know?
Right. Right. Yeah. That's amazing. Cool, man. One thing that's coming to mind is, you know, since we've talked about Jesus, is Paul in the Bible writes that Jesus who saw him, who was, you know, if you're a Christian, Jesus who was equal with God, didn't see that as something to be taken advantage of, but yet came to earth in the form of a servant,
mm-hmm.
and submitted himself to a death, even a death on a cross, which would be the worst kind of death at the time. And so that here's the Christian example of living, is to have this extreme amount of power and responsibility, but to decide to be humble, decide to wash your, you know, disciples' feet, you know, decide to go even to the point of dying for people who might not even know what it was for or appreciate it, you know, that
yep.
That's the example as Christians that we have. As humility, we don't think of God as a humble thing, but for Christians it is. It's essential to our living is this concept of humility, and what better way. If you're not humble, then start serving, right? That's a good way to start it, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, to live by, you know, godly principles, you know, it's all laid out in the steps. That's what's cool about it, you know? You know, you don't even have to have that, you know, that awareness that, you know, that you just talked about.
Right.
Okay. And, you know, be a major contributor to our society and to people in recovery, you know?
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, check out 365soberliving.com.
Yep.
To get more information on their program and how they can help. And as always, you can like this and star it and review it and comment on this podcast. And if you go to themosthighshow.com, we can accept donations and everything helps to get us to continue to do stuff like this.
Well, thanks for inviting me, Christian.
Yeah, man. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate you, brother.
Okay. All right.